Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming out. Just before we open the Word of God, we'll just bow and ask the Lord's blessing on our coming together. We'll pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks tonight for your great love to us. We thank you tonight for the cross of Calvary, for your Son, the champion of our salvation, the one who suffered, the one who gave his life that we might have life, the one who suffered for our sins so that we could be free, that we could be free to worship you, to worship him, to be free to live out the purpose of our lives, and that is to bring glory to God. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truths that are in it. The whole Word is truth, and we can rely on it. We can stand firm upon it. We can take these truths, and we can live them out in our lives by faith, and we can be built up in faith. We can be come closer to you and to the Lord Jesus. We can be daily become conformed to his image. Very powerful words that we have in our hands tonight. And we just would pray that as we would read from the Word of God tonight, and we would give thoughts on it, and we'd try to give the sense of it, that each one of us that have come tonight would be built up, that we would be given help, that we would be in some way just changed for the better tonight, that we would be in some way just a little bit more conformed to the image of your Son. We just would pray for any that are with us tonight that do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would see their need tonight of him, and that they would come to him acknowledging that they are a sinner and that the only thing they need in this life is Jesus Christ, and they would know their sins forgiven, heaven as their home for the endless ages to come. So we just pray that as we would open the Word of God, that you would bless, that your Spirit would move, and ask it in his name. Amen. So I'd like to read with you in Hebrews chapter 10, please. Just sort of going to take a fly over Hebrews chapter 11. There's a lot of material in Hebrews chapter 11. And I was told on the way here, good luck, Dad, but don't be one of those guys. You know, that goes like a half hour over. And I don't think there's any worry of that tonight, but we'll finish on time or before time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, the preservation of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Just to give a little overview of the book of Hebrews, written to the Jews, many of whom were still considered to be in an elementary state. They had, it's sort of not grown like the writer thought they should. There was a few things that were going against them. They were still taking milk when the writer thought they should be eating meat. That's kind of the analogy that's used. They needed to be stirred up to the sort of the full realization of the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and basically his superiority to everything that they had, the religion that they had been brought up in. But there was a couple of things that they were dealing with. Very educated slippery seducers, propagandists of Judaism that were sort of under at every attempt trying to undermine their faith in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the other thing that they had going against them was the hostility and the persecution of fellow Jews. So very difficult circumstances for a Jewish person that was professing faith in Jesus Christ and trying to grow as a Christian with these sort of external influences on their life. So we see in the book of Hebrews here that the antidote to these temptations and these trials is the presentation of Jesus Christ. And that's what the book of Hebrews is basically about. Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah, His glory, His finished work at the cross of Calvary, and His present ministry as the great high priest and ultimately the great shepherd of the sheep that's going to bring all His sheep. So we see the Lord Jesus, and He is presented, up to this point, He's presented as being superior to the prophets, superior to the angels, superior to Moses, superior to Joshua, and His superiority as a high priest, and that covers chapter 4 to chapter 10. And we're also going to see that He is superior in His faith. We see that in chapter 12, and we'll try to finish our message off with those few verses. And then His superiority as a shepherd in chapter 13. So the book of Hebrews sort of wraps up with what God is doing in the lives of these people, that sometimes they couldn't quite understand what was going on in their lives, but He's working in them that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's the work that God's doing in our lives, particularly in their lives. And these were things that they needed to hear. There were things they were struggling with this. And there was a lot of people in their midst that had come along and were sort of dipping their feet into Christianity. And they were leaving. They were not believers to begin with. It's very difficult, isn't it, to be part of a team, and a team member just sort of peels off. It's not what you consider to be a morale booster. So there's a whole bunch of things going on that were difficult to endure. And it's kind of interesting that he lists these virtues in the first couple of verses, or the last couple of verses of chapter 10. He talks about their confidence or their boldness and their patience and their faith. And then chapter 11 starts, and he goes through basically from the dawn of creation up to that point in their lives with people who had stepped out in faith and on the promises of God. And they can look back to these people. They were the evidence. Okay, they're the evidence of people that had stepped out in faith. They're examples. And there's many of them listed. All of them would have been very well known to any Jewish person. And just the fact that, sort of on a high level, is it includes people from the highest of governments. So you take Joseph to the lowest of the low, people being tortured and killed for their faith. And sort of wraps it all up in the fact that people are going to suffer, and finishes off in chapter 12 with the Lord Jesus and how He suffered for our sins. He suffered at the hands of His own creation. He was tortured. He was beaten. He was murdered. And he did it because he loves us. And he did it because he wants to save us. And he did it because he wants to make us whole again. He wants to bring us into a position that now we can step out in faith and we can live by faith and we can be well-pleasing to God and we can fulfill the purpose for which we were created, and that is to bring glory to God. And through faith, God rewards us and God blesses us. And ultimately, at the end of the day, he's going to make us perfect. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Kind of a, I don't know, I suppose the first time I read this verse, I found it quite confusing. But faith is what God works through. Okay, so it doesn't mean my faith is big enough that I can be saved, or my faith isn't big enough that I can impress God. What happens is, I trust in God. I put my trust in him and what he says. I step out on that because I believe that he's true. And because of that, God rewards through that outworking of faith. It has nothing to do with my power. It has nothing to do with my ability. Has everything to do with my humility and facing God and saying, your way is better than my way. And God rewards a person and makes them righteous through that channel. So, what verse 1 is doing is not necessarily giving a definition of faith, but more a description of faith and the power and the activity around faith. The substance of things hoped for. So it's giving reality. Okay, There's all kinds of things in the world that people put their faith in. There's all kinds of things that people hope for. But faith in God gives reality to the things that we're hoping for, to the things that God has promised. And it gives reality to a person in their lives to be able to live out and to be able to follow him. It makes it real. It makes it factual. It produces evidence of things not seen. It produces conviction and gives reality. You think of these people, and they had the temple. They're very proud of it. And they are being asked to move away from a religion that was all sight. And they were being asked to move away from that and put their hope in the invisible, the things that they could not see, but were based on promises given by God. So we have in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders, the older ones, the ones that he is going to speak about in chapter 11. This sort of kind of strange thing to them, this faith thing in the invisible and not being able to put my hand on something and not being able to say, yeah, this is what I did. This is what I'm doing. This is what I can give to God. These are my works that I've done to appease him or to impress him. Everything is unseen. So that's a very difficult thing for them to change from. So he says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And what he's going to do in chapter 11 here is basically show them that all the sort of the heroes of their past, this is exactly what they had done. This is exactly the principles that they had followed in their own lives. To be talked about time and time again amongst families. The heroes of Israel. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he's talking about creation. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word, the spoken word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke this into existence. God didn't even take things and make something. God didn't have a tool shed of things. And he said, look, I'm going to take all these things and I'm going to make the universe. All of the things that are in the universe, God spoke them into existence. And all these things that you can't see, God has taken them, he's spoken them, and he's made an exceedingly complicated creation. And they had no problem believing that. They had no problem believing that God had created the world in 6 days. He spoke everything in and he made everything. So likewise, we're going to have to step out on something that we can't quite put our hands on. And we can't even really put our eyes on. But we have to believe that God's true. That God is faithful. We have to believe that God knows more than us. We have to believe that God knows the end from the beginning. We have to believe that God is powerful enough. We have to believe that God is good enough. We have to believe that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. And that his son is sitting at his right hand as a high priest. We believe that. And we trust him with our lives. And this whole chapter is full of people who trusted him with their lives. So you say, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So Abel, we remember the story of Abel, had no doubt heard the story many, many times of how his parents were sent out of the garden and how they had had to shed blood, or God had shed blood and clothed them with the sheepskins. And Abel comes to God with his sacrifice. And his sacrifice means that he understood that it was going to be God's way. And he understood that he needed forgiveness for his sin. And he brought a little animal, a little sheep, a little lamb. And he shed his blood because he understood that in order to be righteous, he had to shed blood, and he had to do it God's way. And God made him righteous because of that act of faith. Because he came to God by faith, God rewarded him through that act of faith. And then we see Cain, who came with the works of his hands, like the first religious person, came with the works of his hands and offered it up to God. So there's the difference. There's a man who's coming humbly, wants to do it God's way, wants to live by faith, is going to do the things that God said, and he is counted righteous. It's a cause and effect. A humble approach to God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had walked with God. And in walking with God, imagine if at the end of your life, people would be able to say, he walked with God. He was so close with God. I mean, walking means that he wasn't just walking with him, that he was communing with him, that his step was in step with God. This man's life was marked by faith every day. Kind of an amazing story to be translated. He didn't see death, to be taken from this world into heaven, to be given his body, and to be in heaven as a man. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, we talked about Abel, talked about Enoch. They would be very forefront in their minds. The whole story would come back to them. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Just another thing that they're hearing, that all of the things that they heard growing up, faith is the only way to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we come to God believing all the things that God has said about himself, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So again, as I was alluding to previously, when a person comes to God, and there's none of this Cain stuff, okay? We're not going and we're saying, yeah, I'm going to sacrifice, but look, wait. Just look. I mean, there's got to be some virtue. There's got to be some virtue in what I brought along too. So we stand before God and we understand that what he is saying about us is true. That we're broken. We need healing. We're sinners. We have a heart that is prone to wander. We have a heart that almost in every case needs to be told what to do correctly, doesn't it? I mean, if we're left to ourselves, it's just bad choice after bad choice after selfish choice, self-serving. That is what we are. And that is what we're left with. And then to come to God who knows all, and then try to put a little smoke screen in front of him. Try to prop up something in front of him, to put a little mask on. It's absolutely ridiculous. So we come to him. We believe everything about him. We believe that he knows the end from the beginning. We believe that he knows the inward thoughts. And he knows us through and through. And we come to him. We recognize that we need him. We recognize that he's the only thing we do need. We give over the will of our life to him. We say, from now on, it could be every day we need to do this. Today, it's your way. And I'm going to be thinking about the fact that I am a child of God, and I am a son of God, and I belong to God. And I've been created to please you. So I'm going to be thinking about that during the day, that my actions should show that. And I have nothing to bring to you. In that humility, in that honesty, in telling God that you need him, he rewards that step of faith. And if you're not saved, he'll save you. And if you're a believer, a Christian, he will help you and protect you and guide you and bless you. And that's the thought of him rewarding them that diligently seek him. And there's all kinds of ways that he rewards us. He meets the need. He meets your daily need and he feeds you. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, reverential fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So look at Noah. I mean, some of the things that you read about, and if you were to put yourself in the shoes of some of these believers, it'd be very difficult to do the things they did. So he's told to build a boat, an ark, that that God's going to fill with all kinds of animals. I mean, the story really is ludicrous. There never had been any rain. What on earth is this going to look like? A boat, a huge boat with animals in it. And the scoffing. I mean, the guy was a laughingstock. Built for years and years and years, building this boat, this ark, and telling people what was going to happen. But at the end of the day, Noah moved with reverential fear because he believed God. And he knew God. And he knew that if God said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. And because of his respect and his knowledge and his understanding of who God was, that reverential respect and fear was far more powerful than the scoffing and the making fun and the name-calling of his neighbors around. No doubt it still hurt. And I don't know anybody that can be made fun of and scoffed at and ridiculed and just say, oh, I don't care. I mean, it hurts. And that's probably what holds a lot of us back from sharing our faith. Because people are so scoffing and they're so rude. And they think it's hilarious to make you look like an idiot. But here's Noah, his reverential and fear and respect of God. He moves and he does it, and he's written in the history books, and his little family is what God uses to repopulate the earth. And Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Again, Abraham had the luxuries of life in the land of Ur. And you look at his life. He left that, and he lived in tents in a land that he was going to inherit. It was this promise of inheritance that had kept Abraham going. And then passed it on to his sons, not knowing whither he went. People would have thought he was crazy for leaving what he left behind. But Abraham believed God. By faith, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, whose architect and constructor is God. That is what he was looking at. That's what he was hoping for. And because he had faith in what God was saying about this city that God had built, that was going to be Abraham's one day, that's what kept him living in tents and not going back to the comforts of Ur. These things that we can lay hold on, that are going to help us let go of the sort of the material things of the world, to let go of the scoffing and the mockery of the world, which is absolutely antichrist and against him, and to be able to step out on the promises of God today and tomorrow and this week and for the rest of our lives. We need a hope. We need to be concentrating and focusing on that hope. Because when we are concentrating and focused on that hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven as our home, those other things start to pale in comparison. Abraham looking for a city. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know what's interesting too, I find, just reading through these these folks and how God says, you know what's interesting about this person? He chooses to pick out the things that they had done by faith. You remember Sarah? She heard them talking and she laughed. What are they talking about? There's no way I'm going to have a child. You think, well, did Sarah have faith? She was called out on it. And she had to think about it. Then she had to consider the person who was giving the promise. Didn't she? And then through faith, Sarah received strength to have a child. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. We have these like lurches in our lives, don't we? Where, I don't think so. You know, I just can't see God doing that. Or I just don't see God being able to sort of work that out. And then we get challenged on that. And then we're reminded of him. We're reminded how big he is and how powerful he is and how able he is. And then we get strengthened and we step out. So here's the result. Therefore sprang there even of one, verse 12, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So they were two people that were way past the age of childbearing. And because God said it, it happened. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a native country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Interesting. Where I come from in Cape Breton, most of the people in that area come from a little island off the coast of Scotland in the Hebrides. It's called North Uist. And they, dozens of families, hundreds of families, had come from North Uist, basically decimated the population of the island to come to Cape Breton for a new life. And it's interesting, you go to the cemeteries in the different communities around, and they were so attached to their native country that when they died, they had gravestones sent over from North Uist. And you can see on their gravestones, it's a white marble, and it says at the bottom, it says all who they were, and usually has a Bible verse on it, and at the bottom it says, this stone imported from North Uist. Those people were living in a land that was not home. It's interesting, it took a couple of generations. See, I live in PEI now, and if you were to ask me where home is, I would say, it's Cape Breton. I love PEI, but Cape Breton's my home. It's my native country, and there's just something about home, isn't there? There's something about belonging. There's something about me going back home and walking the trails I used to walk. They're my trails. They're my roads. It's my home. And these people had homes, they had futures, they had inheritance, and they left it all because they stepped out on promises that God had given. And they all died having not received that promise. And they never looked back, or they never went back. They continued on by faith, and they were written in the history books. The father of the nation of Israel. And they would tell people, I'm a stranger, I'm a sojourner in your land. That's what Abraham would say. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Consider Abraham's faith, okay? God said, all the promises, your seed is in Isaac. Perfect. That's done. I have Isaac. Now he's got to offer up Isaac. Abraham's faith in God is so strong that he says, God promised me that my seed was going to be in Isaac, so obviously he's going to raise him from the dead. That was the faith of Abraham. And in a sense, that's what it's saying, accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He did get him back from the dead. He had, in his mind, had already gone through that process of killing his son and God raising him back up to carry out his seed. Amazing. Amazing the faith and the trust that Abraham had in God. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Look at these men at the end of their lives. And what is it that they're passing on? They're passing on the promises of God, the city that they're looking forward to. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. His faith in God was so great that he said, look, when you guys are leaving this land, which you're going to leave this land and you're going to go into an inheritance, I want you to bury me back home. Faith of Joseph. Absolutely certain of the promises of God. Absolutely certain in these invisible things. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Look at the faith of Moses, his parents. God's got a purpose for this boy. We're going to do what it takes. We're going to step out on the promises and the strength and the ability of God. We're going to hide this boy. An amazing story that he even got as far as he did into Pharaoh's household. When he gets into Pharaoh's household, his understanding of God, he was taught by Jews. His understanding of God and his faith in him causes him to leave all the things of Egypt behind and to take a stand with his brothers and his nation as captives and slaves. All the things that God mentions that Moses did by faith. At the end of it all, Moses coming back and, you know, not feeling he's the guy for the job, and I just, can Aaron speak for me, and all these struggles that people go through, and when God is asking them to do something, it's just, oh, I just don't think I'm the guy. I just don't think I'm the guy. And that's probably a kind of a common struggle. I'm probably not the person for that job, right? Moses goes in, great things done through Moses. Because of his relationship with God, the nation follows him out of Egypt. They pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. Here's something that is just in the nick of time, isn't it? God said, look, I'm going to part the sea, you're going to go through it. And he parted the sea, and they said, we're going through it. And they went through it. Absolutely astounding that something like that could happen. Incredible. Standing there before the sea, every way is blocked, and here comes the Egyptian army. Going to either kill them or take them back into captivity and slavery. And the sea opens up. With God, all things are possible. And they take the route, and they go through on dry land. And then they watch as the sea comes in on the Egyptians. You know, I would think if something like that happened in my life, I would never question God ever again. Well, such is not the case, right? By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Again, God pointing out the things that he wants to point out, that all those years in the wilderness, not mentioned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Again, a sort of a ludicrous strategy. Marching around the city for 7 days, then blowing trumpets. I mean, it was just silly for anyone looking on. What are they doing? And because they believed what God said, and they said, we don't care, we've seen him work, we don't care what anyone says, we're just going to do what he says, we're going to step out on those promises, down come the walls, in they go, Jericho is theirs. You look at Rahab, perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab understood the power and the ability of God, and she stepped out on what she understood the promises to be, and included in the lineage of Christ. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. We all want to be faithful warriors. We all want to be on the side where our prayers are working for God and our prayers are causing great things to happen. Our prayers are causing the seas to part, people to get saved, great works to be done, accomplishing great things for God and for his program. You look at some of the people here. You look at Gideon. Gideon was another guy. I am not. No way, man. I'm not the guy for this job. We see Barak. Oof, I'm not going. You got to come with me. I can't do this. You see Jephthah. And he makes the most ridiculous promise in the history of the world. He was told the battle was going to be his. He said, well, if I win the battle, I'm going to sacrifice the first thing that I see. What? Completely unnecessary for him to do that. Completely unnecessary. But what God decides to look at is the battle that Jephthah won, or the battle that was won through Jephthah. And all of these things, subduing kingdoms, righteousness, obtaining promise, stopping the mouths of lions, quenching the violence of fire, all of these hero stories, all these stories that would inspire and would build up, you know, like a real rah-rah story, right? Yes, those are our men, those are our warriors of faith. And then even these women that had had their children raised from the dead. I mean, God can raise people from the dead. That's the kind of God he is. That's how powerful he is. And then we see others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That's the other side. We hear horrific stories of believers today going through this. And the point is, it doesn't matter. God's promises are God's promises. And we step out on them and they have consequences. Just like not stepping out on them have consequences. Just like living in sin has consequences. Stepping out in faith has consequences. And it doesn't matter what can happen to us in this world. What matters is, at the end of the day, He's faithful. He is faithful to make us righteous when we put our trust and our faith in Him and when we come to Him. And we live and breathe and focus on those promises. God says the world in its antichrist ways and its anti-God ways, they're not worthy of those people that were living in caves and dens for me. Imagine sons and heirs of God being treated in such a way. And it's no surprise. It says, these all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. One faith. All these people lived and they had not received that promise. They all lived by faith. They all trusted God. They all worked out their life in faith to God. And what he's saying is, it's exactly the same thing that you are going through today. You decide. You're not the guy. You think you're not the guy. You think you're not the girl. You think it's too hard for you. You think God can't work that out in your life. It can happen in other people's lives. Look at all these ordinary, normal people that stepped out on the promises of God, that had faith in His ability and His power and His love and His faithfulness. And then He reminds them, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, just surrounded by witnesses, by people who have done it, by testimonies. We're just surrounded by them. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, thinking about the glories of heaven and the reception of all the saints from the earth and the worship and the glory and honor and praise unto the ages of the ages in heaven. The joy the Lord Jesus is going to have. His saints pulled from every corner of the earth, from every tribe and every nation. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So at the end of the day, it is Jesus Christ is the answer to our problems in life. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He did it all for us. He suffered for us because He loves us. He has the best for us in mind. Not that He wants us just to be happy every day. He has the best in mind for us. He wants us to grow. God is working things out in Jesus Christ so that we can be well-pleasing to Him, that we can live for Him, that we can hear at the end of our days, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amazing words, I would think, for them to hear, all the stories of the people that had stepped out in faith, that had been rewarded by God. To understand that, yes, I can in my own weakness, I can come to God and I can step out in faith, and He's the rewarder, and He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that is faithful. He's the one that'll keep me safe and deliver me at the end of the day into eternal bliss and perfection and sinlessness. It's the same for us in our lives. And maybe some of us don't think we matter, but we matter to Him. We're absolutely invaluable to Him. He gave His Son for us. We matter to Him. And we're going to spend the endless ages with Him. So with these few words and with our little fly over Hebrews chapter 11 and those virtues, our confidence and our patience and our faith, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that is our hope that's set before us. So we just pray that each of us would be strengthened just a little bit tonight. So we'll pray. Father, we just give thanks for the Word of God. We thank You for the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank You for the cross of Calvary. We thank You for the suffering of the Savior. We thank You for His glory. We thank You that He is at Your right hand and He is our high priest. We thank You that He is going to come. He's going to take us to be with Him, to be like Him for the endless ages to come. We have a great hope. We have a great future. We just pray that each one of us here tonight would be strengthened, that we would be able to set our joy before us each and every day. We just ask this in the Savior's name. Amen.